shadow cutting off the film for a moment, leaving Ryan, JB, and Jack to watch the rest of the flickering, damaged black-and-white movie.
Many bodies were melted. Puddles, you understand? Like heated wax, distorted into puddles of sticky fluids. Here and there a skull, or a row of teeth, or a complete hand, oddly untouched. Corpses everywhere, and not one that could be recognized. Most were never identified. My husband, 3 little ones, sister, her husband, and 2 children, and my brother and his wife, and both my parents. No one was ever found. I could not mourn. There was nothing to mourn. They had ceased to exist.
There. Perhaps that explains things better for you.
Yeah. I guess that it does.
When they got back to their rooms, none of them felt much like talking.
Come in.
Lord Masashiga wishes me to tell you that dinner is served.
Thanks. As the woman bowed her way out, Ryan turned to the others.
And how you all feel? I feel the same. The idea of food makes my stomach heave. But we're planning to leave tonight, in a few hours. No idea when we might next get anything to eat or drink. So we have to go down and do the best we can.
Forgive me, old friend, but I fear that is beyond me.
Me too. No good, Ryan. You just can't make us eat.
All right. I won't make you do anything. Rest of us will be back here as soon as we can. At least drink plenty of water.
When it came down to it, Jack was the only one of the group who managed anything like a reasonable meal. Ryan and JB had both chosen some smoked ham with sourdough rolls and a cup of the imitation java. They still found that it was a struggle after viewing the horrific film. But Jack had demolished 4 rashers of bacon with 3 eggs over easy and a mountain of refried beans, following it with 2 enormous slices of juicy watermelon.
You sure you've had enough, kid? No space left for thirds?
I'm fine. And don't call me kid.
Sure thing. Sorry. We going to the rooms now?
Ryan looked back at Masashiga, again the only one of the Japanese to dine with them.
Thanks for the food. Thanks for everything.
You are welcome. You have helped to open my eyes to things that were closed to me, Kota-san.
And that's good.
In the morning, I would speak with you, with all of you, about Deathlands.
Sure thing. But we all feel like an early night now.
Of course. Sleep well and tight. I hope that the bugs do not bite.
By 10 o'clock, the castle seemed to be quiet. Ryan had sent Jack to scout around their wing of the building, checking that there was no unusual guard activity.
Everything's still.
How are we going to do this, lover? Place a seal up tighter than a gnat's ass.
Well, there are 2 ways. One is to force the main gate, which means some chilling and a lot of noise, and the chance of pursuit coming right on top of us.
I am ahead of you on the logistical planning element of our departure, my dear fellow.
How's that?
You know how I detest swimming.
Only a few yards, Doc.
In a lake filled with goodness knows what kind of monstrous predator.
Carp, Doc. That's all I've seen in there. Big sons of bitches, I'll grant you that. And maybe a giant eel or two as well.
Well, thank you for your support, madam. I shall wear it constantly.
But you're right, Doc. A small swim. I've worked out our best route away from here. Down into the center courtyard, then head toward the main gates. But stop before we actually reach them. There's a tower alongside the one with all the weapons and grins and stuff in it. Has a barred window locked from the inside, just above the level of the moat. Open that and slip through. Not much moon tonight. Won't take more than 2 minutes. Swimming slow and easy. No splashing, Doc. Out of the water and in among the trees.
Shouldn't be any problem, unless we meet any sentries on the way. What then, chill 'em?
Rather not. Mashashiga's played the game with us. Take him out if there's no choice. If we can shut them up for a while, I'd rather do that. In some ways, I'd like to stay around here and help out against his brother. Then again, there's the problem of their plans to try and break through into Deathlands.
His brother might try that as well. He sounds like a nastier piece of work than the Shogun.
They only saw two patrolling Sekhmen outside, but they were in the distance and walking further away towards the gate. The Outlander snuck through the central court, with its Zen arrangement of stones and plants, and along several more passages. They paused a moment, waiting to see if the tremor was going to turn into a full quake. They moved on, hoping nothing would start up again. They melted back into the deep shadows as half a dozen more Sekhmen walked by, stepping quietly. Once they'd gone, heading toward the main gate, Ryan stared after them, vaguely uneasy.
Something that... Well, let it pass.
It didn't seem to be anything that should concern them. The door from the yard into the tower was unlocked. It was about 30 paces from the corner building that held most of the Vill's weapons, and the same distance from the main gate.
Everyone here all right?
Something's not right, lover.
What?
I can feel men close by.
Guards?
Not that. More than that. I got a strong feeling of something wrong.
Ryan knew better than to ignore Christie's feelings and looked out the doorway across the courtyard, straining his hearing.
Jack, check out the window. See if you can see anything across the water.
Jack had poor sight in the brightness of noon, but his pale red eyes saw fine in darkness, better than anyone else's.
Man, crossing the lake. Got rafts of driftwood. Looked to be about 30 of them.
Ryan looked toward the main gate, his own sight now adjusted to the dim light, seeing a scuffle of movement.
Treachery. Ronan got men inside here like we reckoned they could.
They'll open the gates to drop the bridge, and the Vill's gonna be open to attack. Nobody'll notice in the chaos of the raid.
No. We're still his guests. We owe him our help.
The gateway?
Later.
Ryan sidled out into the courtyard, keeping pressed against the dry timbers of the high wall, the Sig-Sauer drawn and cocked in his hand. Christie was next in line, followed by Jack, Mildred, and Doc. Without a command or a word being said, JB automatically took up the rear guard. The riding moon peeked out from behind a ragged cluster of high cloud, giving a little more light in the yard, enabling Ryan to see a half dozen men in red and white preparing to lower the bridge to the invaders.
Let's take them.
Ryan was tossed sideways by the force of the explosion. A wooden blur flew towards his head. Ryan opened his eye again, finding that he could see bright flames and a curtain of billowing black smoke that boiled from the shattered ruins of the tower. Ryan's combat mind told him that the Ronin had gotten in and blown the armory. Someone tugged at his arm, trying to get him to his feet. Rubbing at his eye, Ryan saw that it was JB, his fedora still miraculously perched on his head.
Come on. Back inside.
What?
Best get inside. They got a hold.
How about the others?
All right. They're all right. You are nearest the explosion.
JB was at his side, holding the scattergun at his hip. A figure in the colors of the palace set force loomed out of the darkness at them, holding a Nambu 9mm pistol. Without a moment's hesitation, the armorer swung around his Smith & Wesson. 20 murderous flechettes, each an inch long, were instantly stuck in the attacker's stomach, puddling his intestines.
How'd you know he was Ronin?
Didn't. Wasn't gonna wait and find out. Have to get inside, now!
The Ronin had also managed to hit the fortress's main power source, forcing them onto emergency lighting, which consisted of dim lamps placed at irregular intervals. Christie had been waiting inside the doors to the main part of the Vill with Jack, Doc, and Mildred. She hugged Ryan as he appeared.
You all right, lover?
Shaking a little.
I saw you go down with a ton of bricks off the tailgate of a wagon.
Ryan was ever an exponent of the Big Bang theory of life.
Let's try and find the Shogun. Where he is will be the defense.
Better be good.
Jack had his gun drawn, the metal gleaming in the light of the lamps.